Youth homelessness services in Western Australia are crying out for new funding amid reports of children being kept in mental health wards and hospitals because they have nowhere else to go. On average, almost 70 unaccompanied children and young people under the age of 25 are competing for each available bed in crisis accommodation every night in Perth. Elise Jorgensen is the regional leader of community service operations with Mission Australia in WA. And Kaya is a 23-year-old from Perth who's experienced periods of homelessness from the age of 13. Kaya, how would you best explain to people who haven't experienced homelessness what it's like at the end of a day to know that you have nowhere to go?
It would be hard to explain. Like, I think, you know, it's very horrifying. Like, you know, me especially, I was very young, you know, you have no idea of anything. Like, you know, you don't know about any services, you don't know anything, and you don't want to speak up because you feel ashamed, you know.
And as a young female, especially in those early days for you, Kaya, finding out about services, there's all of this kind of things that you're trying to learn in real time. But what about safety when you're bedding down somewhere that really isn't your choice? It's not somewhere you want to be for the night.
There is no safety. The only safety you have is the hope of being safe.
Elise, you're working in this area. WA is the richest state in the country by some measures. What's the state of homelessness for kids and young people right now in the West?
Yeah, I have been working in this field for 30 years and it's never been as bad as what it is now. So we operate crisis accommodation services, and there's only a total of 32 beds across the metropolitan area. So a collaboration of those services came together to get better data because each service was really just recording their own unmet demand. And we wanted to get a really better view in terms of what was happening across the whole metropolitan area. And crisis services were originally only funded for accommodating a young person up to 3 months before we could transition them into either transitional accommodation or more permanent. We've got young people staying 6, 9 months. And so what you're seeing from that data is that the young people are competing for those beds, and only a couple of beds are becoming vacant, but you've got a growing number of young people that are ringing and calling for those beds.
Mm. And Elise, I was saying in the introduction that there have been reports also of kids being kept in mental health wards and hospitals to try and keep them safe because they've got nowhere else to go. Is that something that people in your service are hearing and seeing?
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, for a young person to be accepted and kept in mental health, their psychosocial and psychological harm is significant. And so what we're seeing is where a young person might present that if you were able to provide them shelter and that wraparound support, they wouldn't be re-traumatised. But like Kaya's experience from such a young age and exposed to further trauma, then there's no wonder that the mental health of young people are deteriorating, but also we're seeing a lot of substance abuse because that's a way of coping and numbing yourself really with what you've been exposed to every day.
And these broader issues, I mean, they're being echoed in many other parts of Australia. But Kaya, what do you think about what I was asking Elise on? And that is, Western Australia is one of the richest states in the country on some measures. What do you think when you know WA has so much wealth, but there are kids and young people who don't have a place to go?
It just makes me upset because I feel like the system like sets us up for failure. Like a lot of us in like this space, like we go around in circles for so long, are like begging for help from services, and sometimes we feel like they don't even listen to us, and like I feel like we're just another file in the system sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And Kaya, what's your situation now? Do you have stable accommodation at the moment? You do?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
How different is life for you when you've got somewhere stable to stay compared to when you're, you're without a safe place to sleep at night.
It is weird. Like, I've been chronically homeless for like over a decade now. So it is very weird to have my own securities. Like, I've never had stability. So it's wild to think, like, you know, I have a safe place to go at night. Like, I have a safe place to let my feelings out. Like, it's weird to feel that, you know, like, it has brought up new things that I never thought would come up in my life. And it's, yeah, it's weird.
What are the little things that have changed for you in kind of having space to be able to think more broadly? And I'm guessing also with the possessions that you have, knowing that if you leave those in the place where you're sleeping at the moment in the morning, they'll more than likely be there when you get back at the end of the day.
Like, it's great because, like, you know, I, being a female, like, I would love to just, like, you know, I like to wash my hair, I like to do my nails, you know, like, just the little things. And I never could do that because, you know, like, you're trying to think of food, you've got other things on your mind, where now I can, like, actually focus on myself and my self-growth.
Mm. Elise, what message are homelessness services sending to the state government in WA right now about what's needed?
We want to look at a number of messages. So we've got five priorities, but essentially that's looking at the whole service system. We need more investment in crisis accommodation because of that demand, but ultimately the sector would like to see more funding directed to prevention and early intervention. We know that 75% of adults that are experiencing rough sleeping first experienced homelessness under 18, and we know the trajectory and even the cost to government is much higher. So if we can re-divert funding to prevention, early intervention, detecting when young people are struggling, and there are some good initiatives around Australia, including in Geelong, around looking at doing surveys in schools and youth workers in schools to try and really prevent it. But ultimately, we do need an investment in crisis and a variety of models because there are young people with very complex needs and they need youth appropriate housing that have wraparound support. So that's really for us a housing first for youth. So someone can't heal and recover without having shelter. Mm. So that's the ultimate message.